All right, Professor Megan Zwart. She is a professor at St. Mary's College in Northern Indiana. And Professor Zwart, you and your students have been doing this course for a few years now, and it's all about civil discourse. And you guys discuss how to have some meaningful and yet sometimes difficult conversations. And of course, in 2020, we've had a lot of topics and a lot of discussions for people to have those difficult conversations. So first off, what are some of the things that you guys have been discussing in your class here this year?
Yeah, so this year we've talked about abortion and gun rights and regulations. We've talked about speech on campus, which is interesting to, you know, college-age students. We've talked about immigration, environmental policy. Cancel culture was an interesting one this year. So every year we sort of update it a little bit as based on what's going on in the news. But really, since it started in 2016, it's, you know, we saw in the wake of the 2016 election just this incredible need to do better at having conversations with people who disagreed with us. And so, you know, it was a student idea to try to develop a class like this. And so the students and I brainstormed what issues they'd be interested in talking about and how to build the course. And so, yeah, since then, this is the fourth year that I've taught it. And though the issues are always a little different, the main themes are always the same, which is, you know, we need to do a better job of having these hard conversations with people who disagree.
And how does the class kind of work? Is it more of the students kind of discuss their stance and then the conversation goes from there?
So basically I make sure when the students sort of apply into the class, they fill out a survey so that we ensure that we have students from across the political spectrum. It was really important from the beginning that it not be an echo chamber of like-minded people listening to themselves, you know, views they already held. So we make sure that there's a diversity of viewpoint and experience in the class. And then we have six, it's just a one credit hour class. So we meet six times for 2.5 hours a night, once a week. And each week we do a different issue. So we'll do a little bit of content just to make sure we're using good information and looking at good sources. I'll post media articles from across the political spectrum, but from high quality sources. And so the students will come in having done a little preparatory work on some of these issues. And then, yeah, we do small group discussions, a lot of listening exercises. So sometimes these things want to devolve into debate. But for us, it's really important to have a dialogue, not a debate. In a debate, somebody wins and somebody loses. But in a dialogue, everybody can learn something. So that's really the impulse. We'll have some small group discussions where it's really focused on listening and developing listening skills, because those are a real building block. And then some more issue-based discussions where we're trying to get clear about ideas or principles, things that are a little more classically philosophical skills. So we'll spend our 2.5 hours that way, lots of small group discussions. And I found it incredibly enlightening. I think a number of students have found it transformative as well. So it does give one hope that you can build this skill if you work on it.
How does social media play a role in this? Because I feel like a lot of the debates, arguments that tend to happen between people, no matter what the topic is, I feel like people use social media as the tool to debate and argue with people. So do you guys discuss that and talk about how to use social media, and can you have a civil conversation with someone on social media?
That's a really good question. I mean, so for us, in order to have a good conversation, a couple things have to be the case. You have to have a good context in which, you know, everybody's up for it. Everybody is willing to listen and learn. And it's not impossible that you could have that situation on social media, but it's much less likely. It's much more likely that people are there to score points or to troll or to, you know, make their interlocutor look kind of foolish. And so I wouldn't consider those circumstances to be good, you know, good ways in which to have a good conversation. So I think if you find that rare case in social media where people really do want to have a substantive conversation, they're open to learning, they're willing to accept that their own views might not be perfect. If those conditions are met on social media, I think it's possible, but I think it's just much more likely that people are in, point scoring, trolling kind of mode on social media. So I don't say it's impossible, but I do caution people that it's probably not the best place to have these conversations. Also, it's a lot more likely that your sources are maybe going to be lower quality. The kinds of memes that people share without sourcing, like, these aren't going to be a good foundation for a really productive discussion. And so I caution against social media, though I don't think it's impossible that people can learn on social media. I just think it's less likely to embody the spirit of what really makes a productive dialogue, people being open to the other side, people being curious, you know, low on defensiveness, high on curiosity. That you don't see that so much on social media, but you can do it, but it's harder.
So really what people should take from this is, in order to have a civil conversation, it has to be in person, right?
I mean, not necessarily, but I think it's much more likely that that will happen. And I mean, I think the kinds of things that a lot of my students come to class is they say, I don't know how to have a conversation with my parents about this thing that really matters to me. And that's painful. So I think for a lot of people, the issues here are that there are fractures in the relationships in their lives because people have such different views and it devolves into a debate. And so giving students tools to have those, you know, they can go into a conversation not with the intention to persuade, but to understand, I think that's a huge game changer. If you try to persuade somebody, if that's your aim, then you're not in control of the outcome. You're likely to be frustrated. But if your intent is to understand, then you can ask curious questions of the person that help you connect the dots. Why do they believe what they believe? How do their values and their core beliefs give rise to their views on a particular issue? And that's satisfying. Even if you don't agree with them, even if your own view's not changed, that's fine. I mean, that we should exist in a society where we have different views. But if you go in with the intention to understand that, then you're going to come out a lot. You're going to feel that it's a much more productive exchange than if you go in to try to persuade them. So that's, I think, a key in trying to help people have good conversations is, what's the aim? Is your aim to understand or is your aim to persuade?
Again, we're talking with Professor Megan Zwart, philosophy professor, St. Mary's College in Northern Indiana. So you talk about some of these tools and other tips. What are some other tips that you and your class would like to give to people to have meaningful conversations, especially during a troubling, frustrating time of the year?
Yeah. Well, I think, so one I kind of already mentioned, but make sure that it's a good time for you. I mean, people aren't going to be good at this if they're hungry or tired or overly emotional. And not every conversation has to be had at every moment. You can wait until you feel more genuinely interested. And then when you do, like I said, if you go into it aiming to understand rather than persuade, I think another huge piece is knowing what you don't know. You know, a lot of these are really complex issues. We can all always learn more. And so being careful about where you're getting your information, and then also being open to the fact that somebody else might have something that you could learn from, is really important. Asking curious questions and that are, you know, some, you can say to someone, how could you possibly believe this? Well, that's a question, but it's not a curious question. You could also say, so what in your experiences has led you to hold this view? That's a much more likely to be productive question. And then finally, once you ask a question, you have to listen to understand. Sometimes we just wait to reply. We're not really listening. We're just waiting for our turn. And so I think listening to understand is really different than just listening to reply. And just to give you an example, I had a student tell a really powerful story in class this week. They had to, for an assignment, they had to find somebody who had different views than them or a group of people and facilitate a conversation about something hard. And so this student, she's a real proponent of the Black Lives Matter movement. She works in an internship in criminal justice, and she sought out a conversation with a police officer who would consider himself really pro Blue Lives Matter, you know, these sort of things which we often think are really polarized and different. And they had a 2-hour conversation about their different views and where those came from and, you know, how they came to the positions that they held, the experiences that led to that. And so to me, that's an example. I don't think minds were changed in that conversation, but she found it productive because she learned something about where he was coming from. And so I think that's, if your goal is to understand, then you can feel like that's a productive conversation. I don't think she necessarily persuaded him to think differently, but that wasn't what she was there to do. She was there to understand. So to me, that's the kind of example of what's possible when you apply these tips and tools in really hard conversations in the real world.
My last question for you, I guess, is what is the goal of this class, the civil discourse class that you teach?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think for me, the goal is to help students build themselves into the kind of people who can flourish in the 21st century world that we find ourselves, a world of a lot of polarization, a world of, you know, difficulty sifting through conflicting news sources. And so to do that, students can build skills. They can build themselves in curiosity. They can, you know, build their intellectual humility. They can build their empathy. And by creating, you know, by building themselves into people who are good at this, then they will flourish in their jobs, they will flourish in their relationships. So for me, it's really about helping people live a good life. That's what I ultimately always see the role of philosophy as doing. And so this is one really concrete way where many people feel like they would like some help living well. And I think that the skills and tools of thinking critically and asking good questions and listening well are all things that can help people live a better life when we find ourselves in such a polarized circumstance.
Professor Zwart from St. Mary's College. Anything else you'd like to add?
Well, just if anybody's interested in more details, they can look this up. The college and I have shared some tips on our website. So you can either go to stmarys.edu/news/civil-discourse, or you can just Google St. Mary's Tools for Difficult Conversations, and it's the first thing that comes up. So, yeah, my pleasure to be here today. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.